Welcome to Radio Lumi. In this episode, we're going to talk about some of the truly innovative access measures that Luminato is implementing this year for the festival and beyond as well. So this is most relevant if you're in the GTA and can make it to some live events. But we're also going to talk a little bit about what we want this whole Radio Lumi podcast series to be. So stay tuned because you're going to get a chance to meet some of the great people behind the access measures and just to hear about what an international level festival is doing around accessibility is really great. So I'm joined by Emily Maxwell and Ali Han. So Emily, can we start with you? Can you introduce yourself and tell us about your experience of accessibility in the arts?
Absolutely. So my name is Emily Maxwell. I'm the accessibility manager at the Luminato Festival. And I started working in sort of the performing arts field about 10 years ago, and I'm disabled and have been someone who's struggled to find my place in the arts as a disabled professional and figuring out where I fit in. And it was sort of in 2020 that I started to really think about what that means and consider how I can be part of a change in making the arts more accessible for everyone, because I was dealing with a lot of discrimination and things that were going on, and started having conversations with other folks like Ali, who listeners will meet in a minute, just talking about different things that we'd all experienced and we all sort of wanted to make some changes. And I was really glad to get to start working with Luminato in 2021 and really get to help pioneer a lot of the access program, which has been amazing. I also run a non-for-profit organization called the Disability Collective, which focuses on creating opportunities, paid opportunities for disabled artists to showcase their art in a variety of forms. So yeah, I mean, it's sort of a mix of personal experience with my own experience in the arts and the experience that I've had as both an artist and arts producer and curator, combined with my lived experience with disability, just made me really want to focus on how I can combine those passions of mine together.
And Ali, I'm going to ask you to do the same thing, but I'm just going to let everyone know that we have a special guest today, which is your kitty cat, Cora. I love them mewing in the background. So she's got a lot to say as well, but it's all in cat. So, you know, if you understand cat, great. If then you can send us a transcript of what Cora had to say. But Ali, can you answer the same question, please? Can you let us know your connection to the arts and disability and how you landed at Luminato?
Of course. Thanks, Christine. And hi, everyone. This is Cora. If you can understand cats, I'd love to be friends. My name is Ali. I'm the accessibility coordinator here at Luminato. I'm also an actor. And I'm also a part of the disabled community. I was born with ocular albinism and low vision. So I've lived with that my whole life. I went to theater school in Toronto when I was 18 and kind of fell into a lot of negative tropes about disability, trying to hide my disability and being ashamed of it. And it took me, similar to Emily in 2020, I kind of was really tired of living like that. So I started reaching out to tons of disabled folks and just trying to make connections and find my little place in this community. That was when I went back to school. So I studied American Sign Language and Deaf Culture at George Brown. And then I went on to studying leadership and accessibility and inclusion at Toronto Metropolitan University. Around that time, I met Emily, and we, as you mentioned, started up the Disability Collective, which has been a wonderful experience. I'm the director of accessibility and consultation over there. And then here, this is my second full year with Luminato as the accessibility coordinator. And I love it. I love what we do here. And I love what we do on Radio Lumi.
Me too. Luminato has a dazzling range of accessibility measures this year. In this discussion, we're going to focus mostly on stuff for blind and low vision folk, but I'd like to contextualize this in two ways. Emily, can you tell us about the Access Advisory? Because it's a fantastic example of nothing about us without us.
Absolutely. It's something I'm really proud of at Luminato, that all of our access programs are led by the disabled community. That's not something that a lot of large-scale arts festivals can claim. And it's something that when I started at Luminato, I was really adamant about it. And it's been really exciting to sort of make that come true in the last few years. So our Access Advisory is made up of 10 different folks from the disabled community who meet regularly throughout the year to consult on everything that Luminato is doing. So we talk through all of the projects that we're working on, the shows, the art installations, and the advisory offers their thoughts and opinions. And we also talk through different policies that Luminato has. The advisory provide training directly to our staff and volunteers and team members. It's a really great initiative because even though, as Allie and I mentioned, we both are part of the community, there's absolutely no way that we could ever have a full understanding of what everyone in the disabled community's needs are. We cannot represent the full community. Having the advisory to lean on and to ask for advice and to ask for that consultation is a game changer for us because it just means that we get so many more diverse opinions and perspectives and can really think about how to provide thorough and holistic access throughout the entire festival.
Allie, before we start talking about access for blind and low vision folk, can you give us just sort of a brief overview of some of the access measures that are going to be in place for other members of the disability community?
Yeah, of course. So for all of the projects at Luminato, we focus on making sure that all of our spaces are physically accessible. And we also create venue and access guides for any space that our work is going to be in. You'll be able to find those in the Access Hub on our website or on each project page. They'll be linked as well. So the venue guides will give you really specific access information about each specific venue, any detail that you may be looking for. And then the access guides will kind of help to walk you through what you'll experience when you attend the projects. So any content warnings, kind of a step-by-step of what you'll experience as soon as you enter the Luminato world. Other than that, for the deaf and hard of hearing community, we offer deaf interpretation at our shows. We also offer vlogs for all of our projects. So a vlog is basically for the deaf community. It's information about the show in their primary language, which is ASL. English is not the deaf community's primary language. So we try to give them all of that information about each project in ASL. And then this year, we're going to have deaf interpretation at, I mean, I'll list them very quickly, at Ages of Feeling, at 360 All-Stars, at Home, and at a bunch of our Luminato in the Square events, which are super exciting. It's exciting at the opening night, which is going to feature Elder Duke and Jeremy Dutcher on June 9th with Rocky Dewani and Kanon, which I'm very excited about. On June 16th, which will actually feature the Disability Collective, shameless plug, Hawaii Mighty and Big Frida. So those are all super exciting. And then for the neurodivergent community, we have the LAX performances. So we have two this year, June 12th for Ages of Feeling and June 13th for Home. And if you've never experienced a RELAX performance, it's very similar. It just makes it, as a regular performance, it just kind of makes it a bit more friendly, a bit more of a friendly environment for anyone who has sensory sensitivities, anyone who could just benefit from a more welcoming and relaxed environment than your traditional kind of theater experience. So we're leaving the house lights up just a little bit. We're toning back any really loud sound effects or any really loud music and any jarring or abrupt lighting. And we're providing really thorough content warnings so people know what to expect. But at all of our Luminato events, we are actually kind of just trying to make things more welcoming and friendly in general. So at all of our events, we're offering fidget toys, earplugs, trying to create spaces where you can get away from the action and take a little bit of a break if you need it. Yeah.
Emily, let's talk audio description. There are several events that are audio described during the festival, as well as some art installations. Can we talk about some of those?
Absolutely. I'm really excited this year because we have six shows that are going to feature live audio description, which I could be wrong, but certainly in my time at Luminato, I think is the most we've ever done. And I'm really excited to just keep this momentum going. So we'll be doing live audio description for Ages of Feeling, Dancer of the Year, African Party, Nathaniel Deck Corral, Home, and 360 All-Stars. And all of the information for the dates and times of those performances are available at luminatofestival.com/accessibility. And then we're doing pre-recorded descriptions for some of the visual arts pieces. So there's a really amazing mural exhibition called Ghost Days Dance that one of our amazing audio describers, who's also a Radio Lumi host, Rebecca Singh, is working on a recorded description of that piece that will be available both on the Luminato website and by QR code on site. There's also a large-scale art installation called Evanescent that will be at David Pico Square at Luminato in the Square, which feature these sort of large inflatable orbs. And so Rebecca will also be doing a recorded description for that. We are also doing recorded descriptions for a project called Spaced. And this is a really interesting project where we have, I think it's almost 20 murals that are going to be on display at different TTC subway stations. I actually would highly recommend listeners stay tuned to Radio Lumi because there are going to be some really amazing episodes coming out around that, including a project that Christine is working on, which I cannot wait for. And Rebecca and her team at Superior Description are going to be recording individual descriptions for every single mural. Again, just to really try and make that entire project more accessible for everyone. And then finally, there is another project called If I Were the Rain That Binds Together the Earth and the Sky by the artist Miles Greenberg. And this will be happening at the AGO. And Rebecca is going to be doing a sort of deep dive description into the AGO and how the architecture of Walker Court, which is where that project is taking place, lends itself to the project. And then one of our other Radio Lumi hosts, JJ Hunt, will be doing a live from location description of that piece as it's happening. So we have a lot going on, and we're really excited to be able to continue to build upon a lot of the momentum that we were getting last year with our audio described shows and pre-recorded descriptions. And I'm just really excited to dive into all of it.
I know, me too. And if you're not in the GTA, don't despair, because so much of this content is going to be made available as description-rich audio on Radio Lumi. But for those people who will be in the GTA, and for any reason, whether visual impairment or any other reason, there's a very cool access innovation called Whisper Guides. So Ali, can you describe what that is and what kind of experience might someone have if they engage with a Whisper Guide as a guest at Luminato events?
Of course. So Whisper Guides, or you may have heard them called Sighted Guides before, basically are there to be your eyes on the ground. So we're going to have them at any events with audio description, but also throughout other events as well. And they are going to be able to meet you wherever you request. If you are taking, say, the streetcar or the TTC, they can pick you up from there. They can meet you at the entrance where you're being dropped off from Wheel-Trans, whatever you need. And they're going to guide you to your Luminato experience and describe things on the way that might be integral for you to really have the fullest experience when you come to any of our projects, any of our shows. So basically, they are trained describers who are going to help to guide you through Luminato. We will have them certainly at all of our audio described shows that Emily listed before. And of course, you can give us any information that you need to kind of set up the details of how you would like to utilize those Whisper Guides throughout your experience. So we'll have them at all of our shows, and we'll also have them at Luminato in the Square readily available, because the Square this year, we'll learn a little bit more about it later on in this season. I think Kristen's chatting with Veronica Barton, who is our programming coordinator, which is really exciting because it is going to be very immersive. There's going to be things going on everywhere, and it's going to be different every day. So every day kind of has a bit of a theme that changes the food, that changes the roaming performers. There's going to be two stages with readings and scavenger hunts for kids and art being created all over the place. So there's so much to kind of take in that we will have people there who are thoroughly trained to describe it all to you and to describe exactly what you want to take in and what you feel that you might be missing in the square because there's going to be so much going on. We provide some sighted guide trainings to our specific access volunteers, but we also are really lucky to team up with the CCB Toronto Visionaries, who have incredible whisper guides who are really thoroughly trained and are always just the most wonderful people who are excited to meet you all.
Every time we talk about this, I just sigh with contentment because this is like dream come true land if you're visually impaired and like to attend arts events, partly because it's always the last 50 meters. Like, I can get to the close to the venue, but how do I find it? How do I get in? How do I get oriented? And so this innovation is great. I love it so much. And speaking of other access features I love, Emily, could you describe what I have come to define as the divine concierge service?
Absolutely. So this is an initiative that we started last year, the Access Concierge Service. And it really is to serve that purpose, Christine, that you were just talking about, which is that we know as disabled community members, there's just a lot more planning and thought that has to go into going to any events or, you know, getting tickets for things or whatever it may be. It's a lot of extra work on us as disabled community members to figure out all of that. And we're trying really hard to eliminate as many of those steps as possible by sort of coming up with any solutions that folks may need ahead of time. So the Access Concierge Service allows folks to directly contact me and they can do a myriad of things. So they can book their tickets for any shows directly through me. They can also book audio description devices if they're coming to an audio describe performance. If they wanted to come to an ASL performance, I would be able to book their seats directly where close to the interpreters. So I can just sort of take any of those access needs into consideration when booking their tickets. I can also book companion tickets at no cost. And we also ensure that when folks are booking through the Access Concierge Service, that all accessible ticketing is at the lowest price point. Because a lot of times accessible seats are offered sort of close to the front of the theater, which often ends up putting them at a higher price point. And we're trying to make sure that we're considering financial accessibility as well as physical accessibility and all the other things that we've already talked about. So the concierge service, folks can either call me or email me. All of that information is available on the website, and I can sort of set them up with a direct pathway from when they leave their home to when they get to the theater, meaning I will arrange to make sure that if they need someone to greet them, such as a whisper guide, that is arranged ahead of time. If they want someone to come and find them at intermission and make sure that they're, you know, feeling comfortable or need anything, we can do that as well. We just sort of, it's like a one-stop shop where folks can get everything that they might need from one piece of information. So rather than having to sort of book tickets through the box office and then contact someone else and then try and arrange a guide through like a transit system or whatever it might be, we can just sort of arrange all of it. So yeah, like I said, we're just really trying to to think through all of these possible needs that folks may have ahead of time so that when folks reach out to us, we're just able to offer these already and folks don't have to think about it. And I know as a disabled person who goes to lots of different events throughout the city, it just takes a lot more planning for us. And so it's nice to have someone else sort of handling that work and handling that thinking and that brain power. So you just get to come and enjoy the art.
Oh, do you ever? I did this last year and it was, I'm making air quotes, this phrase gets used a lot. It was game changing because honestly, when I'm looking at an arts event, my first question is, am I interested? My second question is, do I have the energy for the cognitive load of the 25 steps it's going to take me to get my ticket and arrange my access measures and figure out how I'm going to get there, who's going to meet me, la la. And this takes all of that and compacts it into an email thread. And I could decide a day or two before, this does look fun. I think I'm going to go. And it totally game changing for me and as an arts goer and someone with a disability. So I just want every arts organization to do this. And so if you happen to not be in the Toronto area, I'm going to talk just briefly about what to expect from Radio Lumi, because our goal is to create an audio-only experience of the festival. And it's geared towards people who are blind or low vision, but anyone who's listening is going to have a fabulous listening experience, because what you're going to get is a lot of audio description. So, you know, visual aspects of the festival will be described. We're going to get interviews. This is one of my favorite things. Interviews with artists and arts creators from a blindness perspective. And this is really innovative and fun, because I don't have to sort of pretend to be a sighted arts viewer and frame my questions in that way. I can ask questions from my perspective, same with the other hosts. And what this does is it creates interviews that almost universally the artists love. Like they come out going, wow, I've never been asked that before. And it helps them to think about their art in a new way. So the conversations that you get to hear on Radio Lumi are just the kinds of things you don't hear in other arts contexts. And also this year, we're going to be doing this great thing where we're going to have describers on location at some of the events around Toronto. And within 24-hour turnaround, you're going to get a slickly edited, you know, hour-long, whatever, condensation of the amazing stuff that happens. So you're going to hear music or talks or whatever's going on stage, plus the description from a professional audio describer of what's going on, how the crowd is digging it, what the urban environment looks like. And there's more innovative content too coming out in Radio Lumi, where the hosts take some of this material and sort of run with it. So I'm super excited for it. And also because we're very optimistic that the podcast itself will outlive and live outside of the festival. So there'll be more content even after the festival is over. So for all of these measures, Emily, can you just give us a couple of, you know, resources of where people could go, a website or an email address?
Absolutely. The best place to check out is the Luminato Festival website, which is luminatofestival.com. And if folks head to luminatofestival.com/accessibility, they will find some really quick information about everything that we've just talked about, including our amazing Radio Lumi webpage. And then folks are welcome to email access@luminato.com. That's an email address that both Ali and I have access to. And so if anyone has any questions or any feedback or anything, just wants to get more information or chat with Ali or I, access@luminato.com is the easiest way to get in touch with us. There's also a phone number listed on the Access Hub webpage, where folks can directly get in contact with me if they prefer to be in contact by phone. So there are quite a few different ways that folks can get in touch and reach out if they have any questions or want to discuss anything with us before coming to the festival.
Ah, dreamy levels of access. This is amazing. I want to thank Emily, Ali, and Cora for this fantastic discussion, and stay tuned for further Radio Lumi episodes.
Station ID and music composed by GR Grit. Thank you so much for making this music for us. To learn more about GR Grit and their music, visit their website, grgrit.com. That's grgrit.com.